Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Real Life Radio. I'm your host, Jerry Tarand, and I'm here sitting next to my beautiful co-host, Desiree Michelle, with a glass of wine, and we're just talking about how the show didn't quite work out the way we expected this afternoon, so this is take two. And welcome, Des, how's it going?
It's awesome. We're sharing a bottle of wine and a microphone today, so you might actually find us not over-talking each other, which is pretty exciting, and it's probably going to be a lot more hysterical giggles, so apologies or your welcomes in advance.
Oh, my. Yes, my daughter walked in on me this morning when we were attempting the radio show and said, "Mom, you sound like a crazy person. Is that your radio show? You just kept talking after, laughing after everything that you said." So, yes, I'm going to release judgments, and that's kind of what our topic is today anyway, is really, what are those names you call yourself? I'm talking about the inner critic, and how can we move past that and give it the love and attention that it needs and really stop listening to that inner critic and just loving it instead. What do you think, Des?
Well, I think, you know, for the purposes of our show, it's important to first sort of figure out where the hell did this critic come from in the first place, because pretty much everyone I've ever talked to has even a modicum of self-awareness, recognizes that, oh my gosh, I have this terribly, terribly evil inner critic that says shit to me that no way would I ever say to anyone else. Maybe I thought it, but I would never say it out loud to anyone else. Like, I just would never, ever say this to anyone. And it's fascinating. So I think, you know, it's important to sort of address, well, where did this critic come from in the first place? Because in doing that, then it gives us an opportunity to really touch base with the recognition that we thought that it was serving us. You know, we're always working or thinking or trying at least to work in our best interest. And my inner critic showed up when she realized that there was gold stars to be earned. If I could get those gold stars by exemplifying exemplary behavior, if I could figure out the shortcut to the most desired behavior or the right answers, the best answers, you know, I got answers. I got the best answers. If I could find those, then I would get that approval and those gold stars and that sense of okayness that I was so desperately seeking. And my inner critic showed up to, you know, navigate me towards that. So, for example, you know, if I discovered that not talking too much is what got the most amount of approval, this inner critic created, you know, this soundtrack that said, okay, listen, you've got to really monitor what you're saying. You've got to pay very, very close attention to the reactions of the people in the room around you. Feel into, do they like what you're saying? Are they agreeing with you? Oh, shit, do they disagree? Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. God, you talk too much. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. So that's where the origins of the inner critic for myself, and I think all of us can probably agree that we've, whether it's behavior oriented or presentation oriented. Oh my God, what were you thinking wearing that? I mean, so many of us have these little internal dialogues that are designed to protect us from being shamed or humiliated or rejected, ousted from the herd. And that's the origins of the inner critic. But so that's nice. So now we know where they came from. And thank you, inner critic, for trying to help me. But now's the next step. So I want to pass the mic to you and hear what your take is on, okay, so you've identified where it's come from. That's nice. Maybe we'll pass it back and forth about some of our own internal dialogue, because perhaps some of our listeners are like inner critic. I'm not entirely sure what you mean, you know, but, you know, there's a few names that, you know, we both have called ourselves in the past, and then it'll trigger that, like, oh, yeah, Yeah. I've said that to me, and then you'll know what we're talking about. Because once you've identified the critic and you've outed her or him, you've taken him out of the closet and shined the light of day, A, you can hear that some of these are ridiculous, and B, begin to offer a new level of wisdom. You can level up into a new way of talking to yourself to get you to a new level of success, a new level of self-acceptance, a new level of peace and harmony. So I'm going to pass the mic to you. I'm like, no, dear Pastor, you're doing great. Oh, yes. Well, so my inner critic is named Helga. And she's not very kind very often, but that's all right. And definitely one of my big judgments about myself is about my parenting. And interesting enough, I went to see Bad Moms last night, and it was so funny. Like, so many parts of it hit home. And I just, you know, so many people compliment me. They say, how do you do everything that you do, Jerry? Like, oh, my God, you're coming and you're doing these heart-to-hearts and you're doing these workshops and these love retreats and you have 3 kids and, you know, 2 teenagers. Like, how do you, you're just like, you're an amazing mom. I wish I had you as my mom. You're so loving. You're so whatnot, you know, whatever I am with my clients. And then I think, you know, but my inner critic is going off the whole time. So as much as I say, Thank you. You know, that's so sweet. My head's saying, are you freaking kidding me? Like, I am. I thought you weren't going to interrupt me, Doug. I'll pass the mic when it's your turn. Yeah, you know, you don't see what happens behind closed doors. And I'm so shitty as a mom sometimes. And I'm just, you know, you didn't see me take my kids to McDonald's the other week or whatever I did. See? Des is like, what? Yeah, no, you don't do that, do you? I mean, really, our whole household is almost all organic stuff. And yes, every so often, we'll go out for fast food, or my kids will request that, and I'll honor that, and then I'll beat myself up for the next 2 days and hide it from my boyfriend, Cal, because he's, like, very, very conscious about everything that he puts in his body. So it's quite interesting the way that I judge myself and, you know, all the masks that we wear. And I think it really is just time to out ourselves and get really vulnerable and get honest with ourselves and with each other. And what a relief, you know, really just to kind of compare notes and say, oh my God, me too. I feel exactly the same way. And so that's kind of what Des and I have been doing tonight. And sometimes, you know, she's telling me about her experience and I'm taking it quite like, you're talking to me. That's me. This is your coaching tactic, right? Oh, I have a friend that's like that. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So much fun. We're actually having a blast. And I'm not sure what happened with the radio show this afternoon, but I'm sure that it was perfect and that this was meant to be. So, I've really been calling my pet name for myself is Jer Bear. So that's what I've been working with. And whenever I notice that I'm judging and that inner critic popping up, you know, I'll remember, hey, Jer Bear, it's okay. It's okay to feel everything you feel. And so what I'm really working on lately is loving the part of me that really has no freaking clue what she's doing. And how to be an amazing parent and how to be an amazing workshop facilitator and a blog talk radio host. And, you know, and I think, God, if they only knew, like, what happens? Here I am, this radio host, and this authority figure, you know, and some view of things. And I have a big issue with authority figures, in fact. So, but that's another that's a whole other episode for sure. So I know, Des, that you lots of stuff came up for you this week, and I absolutely loved your Facebook post, which was almost like a blog about just being able to, you know, sitting with your emotions. And the book I'm reading, Matt Kahn talks about moving from fearing everything to feeling everything. And I'm really seeing that that's been my journey. As a child, I feared everything. I was afraid of everyone and everything, and I didn't understand what was going on. I was very empathic, felt it all, but it
it was so unfamiliar and I didn't know what to do with it. So I ended up just shutting down and not speaking, and we're making up for lost time now. But yeah, now I'm, you know, my whole business is called Living From Heart Center. And so that's what it's about, is feeling everything and opening your heart and keeping it open. And especially in those times where you're most tempted to close and shut down. But that's where those things get trapped. So yeah, when you're most feeling the most pain, the most sorrow, the most fear, the most shame, that's when it's most important to just sit with it and to open it and to feel it. To stay open so that you can move through all the way to the very end and smooth that shit, right? Like, I posted something on Facebook today that was from 3 years ago, and I'm sure it was Des that said it, even though I have a he in there. I'm not sure what that, but you know, it was talking about how getting triggered is so awesome, because it's like finding moldy food in your fridge and finally being able to throw it out, to just let it go and see that this isn't serving you. So it's just, you know, when you feel those things, it's just old stuff, and really remembering that it's coming up to leave. It's coming up so that you can hold space for it and give it the love and attention that no one else has ever been able to give it. And yeah, including yourself. And so you're given infinite opportunities. And that's what this triggeredness and this reactivity and all your shit that's been surfacing lately, all my shit, like everyone's got their stuff flying up, because we're so being called to step into our authentic selves. So, I mean, it's exciting. And I'm learning to get excited when the stuff is coming up and, you know, some more moldy food to throw out. Yes. It's coming up to leave, and it's coming up because I am the only one who can love it away. I'm the only one who's gone through what I've gone through, who really, truly understands the pain and the suffering and what I've overcome. And so, you know, for all you fixers out there, because I definitely am one of them, that, you know, all those people that have this need to just fix and help and heal, right? You can't save someone from themselves. Only they can do that. And I can't save, you know, no one can save me either. Only I can do that. And so, yeah, it's time. It is.
Time.
I know you want, you're dying to speak. And the mic is yours.
It's so fun to do this format, because generally Jerry and I are actually in two different venues entirely. You know, typically she's at her house and I'm at mine, and we don't have the capacity to watch each other talk and pass the mic back and forth, and today we are. So it's a completely different dynamic, and it's really fun. It feels very vulnerable, actually. There's a few, and that's beautiful. So, you know, we're talking about getting triggered or recognizing that discomfort and becoming okay with just recognizing it. Because, of course, before you can choose to throw something out of your fridge, if it's moldy, let's stick with that metaphor. I love it. So you open the fridge door, you know, that's you being triggered, and voila, you know, there's all this stuff inside it. And what of those items do you want to keep? And what of those items are moldy? And there's this level of discernment that has to come into play that comes with awareness and mindfulness. And that's, I think, the purpose of mindfulness is to become masters of knowing what to do when. Because it's really tempting, and I've caught myself doing this a lot, to just take, you know, a bumper sticker saying or a particular book that resonates and just apply that carte blanche across my entire life. So if it means acceptance, whoa, well then thou must accept all that is, that ever was, that ever will be, amen, with legs and mouth and arms and heart wide open without nary a boundary to be found. And you know what? Maybe that's possible for someone, but I have to tell you, I have allowed myself to be grossly abused. I have abused myself, believing that the whole idea was to just allow, 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 allow. So conversely, I've also completely shut myself down. Boundaries, 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 where everything was a no. And really, as you know, as I'm moving forward in my mastery of life, or my mastery of myself and my self-awareness, is learning to discern what in this fridge do I say yes to, and what in this fridge do I say no to? What is this what's moldy and needs to be thrown out, and what is still juicy and good and is healthy at this time. And it's not even just this carte blanche of some is good, some is bad. It's some is good, bad right now. Some is bad, good right now. Is it all the way good? Is it all the way bad? And it's always right now. Yeah, so there's this beautiful need to become deeply, deeply, deeply present with myself, engaging my mind, engaging my heart, and opening up to the wisdom of the sort of divine level of super consciousness that informs both, because it is a co-creative process. And sometimes, you know, the right response is no. You know, sometimes the right response is, hey, bitchy, self-criticizing, calling myself, you know, teabag titties, Helga, if you're, no, I will not say that any longer. No, that isn't true. And that's okay. That is the growth. That is the process. But sometimes, you know, I get something that's like, okay, so for example, I'm starting this new business and I have to get myself out there. I have to put myself out there to promote my business, to get it out that I have this service that I'm offering, and it's an offering, but it's scaring the shit out of me because I have to actually knock on doors. I have to vulnerably present who I am and what I'm offering. And so internally there's this like, oh no, that's scary. Don't do it. But so that's what I would normally say is my heart is saying, don't do it, because like in my gut, in my body, I'm feeling threatened. But my head is saying, hey, listen, you need some tenacity here. You need some perseverance here. Are you offering something that is good for the environment? Yes. Are you offering something that honors where people are with what they have? Yes. Are you offering something that's designed to help them achieve the goals they've set for themselves? Yes. Okay, so what you're offering is beautiful and good. It's meeting this like level of criteria of wholesomeness. So even if you're scared shitless and your body is telling you vomit and run, my brain is saying, listen, you're onto something here. You need to show up for yourself. It isn't about opening to the acceptance of all that is and just being totally unhappy and miserable and not moving out of my comfort zone and just staying in my living room, trusting that the universe will drop clients on my lap. It's about having to say no to my fear and yes to getting out there. But there's other times, and I have to tell you this, you know, and I know we're short on time, so I'm going to make it super quick. But so, and there's no wrong decisions. Like I just want to begin this little story with, there is truly no wrong decisions, but there's like shortcuts and long cuts. And regardless, you're going to get what you need. But there are times where your heart and your instinct is correct, and learning to discern the difference is the key. And so when I was 19, I was engaged, and because we'd been dating for 3 years, it's assumed the natural next step was to get married. And so it's my wedding day and the music is playing and it's time for me to go down the aisle, and I'm just shitting bricks. Every single part of my cellular being is like, no, 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 no. And my brain kicks in and says, hey, 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 listen, you got all these people waiting for you to get down this aisle. You've got this, you said you were going to do it. So you better follow through, or else you're a piece of shit that doesn't follow through on their agreements. No integrity if you don't follow through, if you don't say yes and you don't follow through. So the only way that I could get myself down the aisle was to repeat over and over, it's okay, you can always get divorced. It's okay, you can always get divorced. It's okay, you can. So here I am on my wedding day, giving myself permission to get divorced as a means of following through with my agreement. Now, had I had a decade and a half more wisdom with me, I would have recognized that, hey, wait a minute. You know what? Damn the 50 people who showed up here for your wedding. I'm pretty sure they'll get over it if you honor your legitimate boundary. And that's what this whole journey has been about for me, is what if that inner critic or that inner, hey, that little voice of reason, when is it acting in my best interest on the holistic level, and when is it acting out of fear that isn't correct? And it's this discernment thing, and it's tricky. It's tricky, but you've got to be willing to get quiet and to sit with the unknown. And I can tell you that the reason why I forced myself down that aisle was because I was not okay with not knowing the right answer. And that's really been enormous. And it's what my business is about. I know it's what Jerry really focuses on when she's dealing with her clients, is finding that center point of peace where you can tap into your soul and into your heart and into that deeper wisdom and ask, is this something that I'm just scared of but I need to overcome? Or is this feeling of panic and resistance something I need to honor? And it's unique in every single situation. And I wish that there was one size fits all. I wish that I could say, oh, just always say yes or always say no, because that would just be so much easier. But it's not. Mastery of your life is just like mastering an instrument. And yes, at first you learn where the notes are. You learn how to pluck the strings or how to blow into that flute or whatever. But when you've mastered it is when you release the attachment to the hows, you release the attachment to the techniques, and you begin to allow this movement through you, the music gets to begin to move through you, and you become the instrument for the universe. But you can't fake it. You can't rush, I'm the instrument to the universe, and just crack yourself open and never say no to anything ever. Because like music, there's an inhale and there's an exhale. There's a yes and there's a no. And knowing when to say yes and when to say no is mastery. And that's really where that inner critic can sometimes be your friend and sometimes is your enemy. And learning how to navigate and dance with it, that's the trick. And that's what Jerry and I are playing with it so much right now. Like, when do I say yes? When do I say no? When is this a legitimate feeling of warning I need to honor? Or when is it just my old paradigm fear, my small self fear playing tricks on me? And I just, yeah, there's just something really powerful about that. I'm just wondering here in our last few minutes if there's something maybe you can maybe speak about that. Yeah, I actually have quite a few tricks that I share at the unconditional love retreats, and that to really discern between the two, right? Whether, you know, because we really want to make decisions from a love-based place, right? Make decisions out of love and not out of fear. And so asking ourselves, you know, fear would have us avoiding pain. So are we doing this in order to avoid pain, and that would be more fear-based, or are we doing this to seek pleasure? And does it feel light? Does it feel heavy? Does it feel expansive? Or can you feel like a little contraction in your body? And so, yeah, the love would be much lighter, much more expansive, and the pleasure seeker, right? Like seeking pleasure. And so you can even play out, you know, just imagine, visualize the choices and playing them out, and how does it feel? And does it feel like you're, you know, it might be scary, but often I feel like fear is really just unfamiliar. And so if we can relabel it as unfamiliar, and, you know, is this just an unfamiliar thing that we need to become familiar with? Because it is love and unconditional love and loving ourselves, like really what we don't have a whole lot of role models about, you know, what that looks like, what that sounds like. And so really my journey has been to become that role model for myself, for my kids. So what does it look like, and what does it sound like, and what does it feel like to unconditionally love myself and unconditionally and offer that to other people? But really it's so important to offer it to yourself first. And my whole thing has been like constantly seeking outside myself, and, you know, why can't I just ever be good enough for that person? Why can't I ever... why can't they just tell me that I'm beautiful and that I'm good enough and support me and love me? And, you know, but really the real question is, like, why do I need that? Why do I need that from them? And it's because I haven't learned yet to give it to myself. Like, it's our job. So we can continue to be a victim and waiting. So in this waiting mode, and of course that translates to physical weight too. So, I mean, people lose weight when they get this, when they stop waiting for somebody else to fill their needs and to say those words that they're longing to hear, and, you know, to touch them and to love them and to honor them and to respect them. And so what are you waiting for?
Are you waiting for the universe to drop it on your lap, drop the clients on your lap? Are you waiting for certain words that you've been longing to hear? Like, why can't my dad just say this? You know, and stop waiting and recognize that that's, like, this is your homework. That's your job. And so, my process for you today would be to identify what those words are. And so think about the parent, the person, somebody that you felt hurt by. And there's going to be something, you know, what did they fail to do? What did they fail to say? What did you long to hear that would have made all the difference, that would have started you on your healing path? So if they came to you and said it today, whether they're here or whether they've passed on, you know, what would make all the difference? What are those words? And write them down, and that's going to become your love statement for yourself. And so, because really it doesn't even matter. Maybe it's you are worthy. It's such an honor and privilege to have you in my life. I have your back. I've got you. I 100% support you. Maybe it's an apology. I'm so sorry that I wasn't able to give you what you needed, what you so deserved. So there's all sorts of messages that maybe, you know, that you wish they would have said, that you longed to hear, that you, maybe you did hear them, but you didn't hear enough of them. But identify what those are and recognize that this is your job. So you need to say those words to yourself, because truly you are the only one that can heal yourself. If someone else says those words to you, a lot of the time some outside person other than the one that you're wanting to hear them from, like your dad or your beloved or whoever that is, you won't be able to receive them anyway until you've started to give them to yourself, started to believe that you are worthy, that you are beautiful. And so it really does have to start with you. You're the only one that can heal you, and that's empowerment. Take your power back. We don't need to be victims waiting for other people to fulfill our needs. As adults, that's our job. We get to reparent ourselves. We get to be the enlightened parent that we didn't have. And if you want like a little bit of guidance, just sort of sit with some of these and see, maybe these might be some of the words that you've been longing to hear. You matter. You are enough. You are worthy of being seen and heard. You're special. There's a reason you're here. You are beautiful. You're so talented. This one's big. I always want to know how you feel. Please don't hold back. You're perfect just the way you are. I'm so blessed and honored to have you in my life. Thank you for forgiving me. I'm so sorry for all that I've done to you. I didn't know how deeply you were hurt. Sorry I didn't consider your feelings. I was wrong. You don't have to forgive me if you don't want to. Your talent knows no limits. So make your personal love statement. Take a couple minutes every night before you go to bed to just hold space for yourself and say those words to yourself. And I promise you, things will shift. So, yeah, thank you so much for listening. And do have an amazing evening. Thank you for joining us. Check us out on Real Life Radio on Facebook. And Desiree Michelle on Facebook, and Jerry Tarand. Please connect with us. Let us know what you want to talk about. Ask questions, and we totally love and appreciate you. Have an amazing evening. Namaste. Good night, everyone.
How could anyone ever tell you were anything less than beautiful? How could anyone ever tell you were less than whole? How could anyone fail to notice that your loving is a miracle. How deeply you're connected to my soul. How could anyone ever tell you you were anything less than beautiful? How could anyone ever tell you you were less than whole? How could anyone fail to notice that your loving is a miracle? How deeply you're connected to my soul. How could anyone ever tell you you were anything less than beautiful? How could anyone ever